Let's bow our heads as we stand. Oh Lord, we thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. And we ask that you would make that love known to each of us in a fresh way this morning. Thank you for our worship, for those prayers, for the ways you have met us. And we pray that you continue to meet us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Penny prayed passionately there for children, as well as Becky here with representing Safe Families for Children. There are some cards at the back from Compassion. We had a visit from Compassion a few weeks ago. Some cards there if anyone wants to think about sponsoring a child, but I think that's fairly self-explanatory. Well, I should have also said that there will be donuts after the service, so tea and coffee is served in the narthex. Do stay for that. The title of today's sermon in Jeremiah is The Shepherd Heart of God. It's a beautiful title. The passage we're looking at in chapter 23 finds Zedekiah as king. Jehoiakim, his predecessor and nephew, has already been taken into exile in Babylon along with his wives, his mother, his high officials, his elite soldiers, and in fact, many of the most talented and able people in the capital. Jehoiachin has been a bad king. He'd led the people into worship of other gods and all kinds of practices that go along with that. Zedekiah was not as clear as that. In fact, he seems to have been not very clear on very much. He was pushed around by his officials, who were only really interested in their own wealth and position, and they certainly showed no interest in the well-being of the people. Jehoiachin, Zedekiah and his officials, they had proved to be bad shepherds of the people. They had led them astray. They were now being scattered far away from the beautiful pastures that had been God's gift to them, the land to which they belonged. They were pushed somewhere where they didn't belong. Some were scattered already. Ere long, the people would be escorted en masse to Babylon. Some of them would escape to Egypt, ironically the place that the Lord had rescued them from centuries before. Lost sheep, sheep in foreign pastures, pastures that were not theirs, pastures that were strange and unfamiliar to them, pastures that were not home. Jane and I were in the Lake District a couple of weekends ago to visit Hilltop, where Beatrix Potter lived. And in the latter part of her life, she actually kept a herd of Herdwick sheep. It's a breed that's been native to the Lake District for many centuries. It's hardy enough to withstand the tough winters there. One thing they're renowned for is that they don't stray. Each sheep seems to keep to its own patch of land. They seem to recognize that piece of land as theirs, or at least each flock does. It's that place and nowhere else is home. And the people of God had a very strong sense of the land of Judah being home, their God-given home. A friend of mine from university is Jewish. He wasn't particularly religious at university, but as he grew older, he felt more and more drawn to the land of Israel. He now lives there with his wife and have brought the children up there. Long before he moved there, he had a deep sense that that was home. But here in Jeremiah, some have already been moved from home, and for the rest, exile was to become inevitable. And it was to become inevitable because of bad leadership. The kings and their officials who were under them were considered to be the shepherds at that time. And it was their responsibility to look after the well-being of the people, as a shepherd looks after the well-being of his sheep. But they were far too busy looking after their own welfare, looking after themselves, lining their own pockets, increasing their own status. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. These shepherds would be punished by God for their neglect. "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock," says God, "out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number." The shepherd heart of God. I want to explore that image today. It's an image God uses of himself in Ezekiel chapter 34, again, where he condemns the leaders as bad shepherds and promises that he himself will shepherd his people. It's an image that's brought comfort to many people over centuries in the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. He shall feed me in a green pasture and lead me forth beside the waters of comfort," to quote the old prayer book. It's interesting that the family Bible in the bedroom at Beatrix Postle's house is open at Psalm 23. And of course, the image of the shepherd is an image, as Pete said earlier, that Jesus uses of himself in John chapter 10. I'm very glad that Pete read that out at the beginning. "I am the good shepherd," the shepherd heart of God. What a beautiful image. And we can learn more about, by pondering that image, we can learn more about God, I believe, than we might do from reading some highfalutin theological tome. Just ponder that image of God being the good shepherd. We won't be confined then to these verses from Jeremiah. We'll take a more wide-reaching look at the image in Scripture, and particularly what Jesus says in John chapter 10. Note this from Jeremiah, though. God refers to his people as my flock. In a very special way, they are his. They belong to him. Jesus says this in chapter 10 of John's Gospel. He says that the real shepherd of the sheep calls his own sheep by name, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. A long time ago, I worked on the Baltic Shipping Exchange. We'd spend about 2 hours every day on the floor of the exchange. It was a vast space.